Day two of NFL free agency, just getting going. We are checking in here on the Flight Plan Podcast. Tim McMaster along with Zach Rosenblatt. He reports on the Jets for The Athletic. We are not really previewing day two as much as recapping the rest of day one, because we did do a podcast yesterday after the Justin Fields signing. We also talked about a lot of the other players the Jets had re-signed on Sunday, Jets players who have moved on to other places, all of that. But then after we recorded, they changed their secondary, Zach. I guess that's maybe the term. I don't know if it's better, but it's different players, and we're going to get into that. Brandon Stevens from the Baltimore Ravens, and then they get Andre Sisco from Jacksonville. We'll get through those guys. We'll talk about Tony Adams too being tendered. Zach Wilson has a new home. Let's do it in chronological order here, Zach. Let's start with Brandon Stevens. Yeah. 3 years, $36 million. He's 27-year-old. Actually wasn't great in 2024, but was good 2023, very good. Just kind of from what you've heard, checking in on different people and people inside the building and out with the Jets, what is the thinking behind Brandon Stevens?
Yeah, you know, that was a surprising one to me, especially when you saw the numbers in the contract. I think it was something like $13 million a year for a guy coming off, I think what everybody would agree, both in Baltimore and out, was a bad year for him. We'll get into what I think about the contract part of it. But in terms of the player, like the Jets needed a corner. He kind of fits the mold of what I've been preaching. They need a sign, which is like younger guys with room to grow that have shown some potential. And he has all of those. He's athletic. The Jets clearly see some potential with him. They view him as a guy who should be their CB2. And you know, I mean, I can touch on the contract now, frankly. Like, yes, it's a lot of money and it looks like an overpay right now. But if he lives up to the potential that the Jets see that he has or feel that he has, then that contract doesn't look so bad all of a sudden. $13 million for a starting corner is not that bad. Like, I get the hesitation from fans and the anger or whatever, but they really valued this guy, and I don't know if they were bidding against other people or they needed to pay him that much, but they really wanted to get him clearly. And in order to get guys in free agency, you usually have to overpay. So I'm not as critical of the move itself as maybe like, okay, yeah, they overpaid him, but they had the cap space to do it, and they value his youth and his athleticism. And I asked our Ravens writer, because I didn't know a lot about him before. I think, what'd you say he ranked on the Athletic's top 150? It was like 128, I think.
128 out of 150. Yeah.
Here I'm going to read what Jeff Zrebic told me when I asked him about him, because he gave a really detailed scouting report to me. He said he's a tough eval. He played really well in 23, gave up some stuff, but he's been targeted a lot because teams tend to avoid Marlon Humphrey and Kyle Hamilton in coverage. When you're targeted a lot, you're going to give up numbers. In 23, he won more battles than he lost. Last year was a struggle. He gave up the second most receiving yards of football. I think it's like 800 yards. He's always in good position. He rarely gets beat cold. He runs really well. He has good feet. He can play physically. He just struggles to find the football. So like, his awareness has been his biggest problem. As he says here, you watch his tape from last year. There are many instances of being in good position, but not turning around in time, finding the ball, making a play on the ball. But he has nice tools, versatile, solid special teams guy, durable. Teammates love him. And he has some experience playing safety, so there's some versatility there. And I think the Jets want to run an offense that blitzes a lot more than they did under Jeff Ulbrich and Robert Saleh, which was almost none. And I think he's a good fit for that because he has the athleticism. He has done some blitzes with Baltimore. And, yeah, you know, it plugs in their CB2. They have Michael Carter the second. They have Sauce Gardner. So, and you have Quantes Diggers you can develop as a depth piece. And, you know, whether they bring back Isaiah Oliver still, like, that, you're feeling pretty good about the depth at minimum. But Stevens is a question, even if I think he should be okay, especially the factor, and I keep preaching this, the Jets have, I think, one of the best defensive back coaching rooms in the NFL. When you include Aaron Glenn, longtime NFL corner, Steve Wilks, who played in the NFL, by the way, and is a really good coach. You have Chris Harris, who is viewed as a rising star and someone who's really good at coaching DBs, and he played in the NFL as well. And you have Dre Bly, who is a longtime NFL corner. So you're in an environment that is conducive to developing cornerbacks. So that's what the Jets are doing. They are banking on him, building on what he had in 23 and not as much last year, when I have some of his numbers here. PFF had him 78th overall among corners, kind of middle of the pack in run defense and tackling. Pretty bad in coverage, a lot of 107.4 rating. 2023, he was 31st overall, so he had a pretty good year and around the middle of the pack in pretty much everything, and only allowed 79.4 rating and had two picks. He's not someone who's going to get a lot of interceptions, so DJ Reed wasn't somebody that did either. So you hope that Sauce can fill that gap. We're going to get into at safety, I think, does help because he's a playmaker. But yeah, you know, if I'm grading the Brandon Stevens signing, probably a C or C plus just because of the money. But I think we could look back at this as, okay, that was kind of a prudent signing down the line.
And they were thinking of spending, I mean, they were hoping to spend more money than that on corner, right? Because they were in on Carlton Davis, which they had to have known was going to cost more than the 12 to 13 million a year. It ended up costing New England 20 million a year. So they spend less than they were going to. Of course, there's a big difference between the best cornerback available and then who they ended up getting in Brandon Stevens. All right, you mentioned safety. Andre Sisko, one-year deal, 10 million. You don't see many one-year deals in the NFL where, because it's a league, the way the contracts are written, right, that a lot of times a two-year deal is actually a one-year deal. Because teams can get out of them and all that. So it is interesting. 1 year, $10 million. He's even younger, 25-year-old, third-round pick out of Syracuse in 2021. Another guy that maybe 2024 was his worst season as an NFL player.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's the reality of free agency. Usually you're not going to have guys who are in their prime coming off their best season in free agency that you're going to get at a reasonable rate. So, like I said, these are the kind of guys you go after. He is coming off a down year, but the Jaguars were an absolute mess, like top to bottom. Coaching was bad, and it kind of, you know, trickles down, and that's why you saw the season they had. But I will say, what the power of Andre Sisko, look at your hat. Like, we were talking about Syracuse for like 10 minutes before we started recording, a lot of Dino Babers chat. But yeah, I think this is a signing that I think people are excited about, both internally and externally. I've seen a lot of good reactions. Robert Mays, actually, on the Athletic Football, I think the live show, or maybe it was just a pod. He actually,
everybody tuned into that.
Yeah,
it was 6-hour live stream yesterday. Amazing, yeah,
maniacs. Yeah. But he thought that Andre Sisko was a great fit for the Jets defense under Aaron Glenn and what they want to do. Ted Nguyen, who does a great job analyzing film for the Athletic, he also tweeted something about how he thinks that he's exactly what Aaron Glenn wants in his safeties. I've seen him compared to Kirby Joseph in terms of what he could do, and Joseph had like 9 or 10 picks for the Lions last year. We've been talking all offseason that they need to invest at safety and find playmakers and upgrade and guys that fit this defense better, because Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph were the guys in Detroit. And and so anyway, yeah, so Sisko, yeah, he did have a down year. But historically, he's been a playmaker. I think he had 4 interceptions 2 years ago. He's someone who is mostly a free safety. He can get up in the box too a little bit. He did that like 20% of the time the last couple of years. We had him ranked, I believe, like 76th overall in our Athletic rankings. I can read what our scouting report says. Third round pick and a 3-year starter. He brings a good combination of size, athleticism, and ball skills. He has 8 picks and 24 pass deflections since 22, but he needs to be more consistent. He was involved in several busts as the Jaguars defense fell apart in 24. He was pulled from the starting lineup in December. Like, that's all notable, but he has the range to play deep, has shown enough in run support to have a varied role, and it would not be surprising to see him excel in the right environment. And I think he's a good fit, and it's a cool story for him because he's a Long Island kid. So I imagine he was a Jets fan growing up, or at least he's going to say he was. A lot of times these guys come here like, yeah, I was not a Giants fan, but I'm guessing he was a Jets fan from, I believe, West Huntington in Long Island, for our Long Island listeners. So cool for him. He's 25. Like I said, you're doing a prove it type deal, so he's going to be highly motivated to have a really good year. I think he's like a better version of what they had with Chuck Clark last year, is what I would say. And I'm intrigued by him. I still think they need to add another safety, whether it's in free agency or the draft. We'll get into one that's likely coming back now next, but I feel better about him at safety than I did about their room last year where Chuck Clark was leading it. He was fine, but he was kind of coming off an injury and past his prime a little bit.
Tony Adams looks like he'll be back, tendered a contract by the Jets. This is like the secondary episode of Flight Plan.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, revamping the secondary with the former corner as head coach. Tony Adams got the right of first refusal tender as a restricted free agent, which I think is like $3 million. Adams was the culprit, or not the culprit, the victim of Woody Johnson deciding he wanted to bench somebody last year, and that was kind of a source of mockery among Jets Twitter and Discord chats and whatnot. But I think Tony Adams is very solid third safety, and I think he could be developed into a good starting safety. I still would rather sign or trade for or draft somebody else and just have like a really good room of those three guys. And whether you bring back Isaiah Oliver or draft somebody or whatever it is, they still need another upgrade, I think. But I think Tony Adams can be really good in this defense. He's kind of a guy that can move all over the formation. Really good locker room guy, really hard worker, high energy, force multiplier type of energy guy. And so it made a lot of sense. And again, he's young, he can be developed. And so, yeah, he's a guy that it made a lot of sense to bring him back. I'm less certain that Ashton Davis will be back. I don't think Chuck Clark will be. Isaiah Oliver could be, but it was the right move to bring Tony Adams back ultimately.
All right, one more thing, and we can look ahead to what else is left to be done as well. But Zach Wilson is back in the AFC East. Zach, he signs with the Dolphins, 1 year, $6 million. So, like, circle it on the calendar, right? Like, whenever the Jets are going to be playing the Dolphins, Tua will get banged up the previous week because there's no question that Zach Wilson will get to play against the Jets.
It's 100% happening.
Yeah,
and I know Jets fans assume the worst, and that it'll go poorly, but we don't have any evidence yet that Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that. Yeah. It might be a good thing that he's starting.
I will say the Dolphins have made a habit of signing Jets castoffs at quarterback. You had Mike White, they had Tim Boyle, and now you got Zach Wilson, the castoff of all castoffs. I mean, he got raves in Denver. They were raving about him. We never got to see it in action outside of preseason against all backups. Mike McDaniel, I mean, he should know the offense from his time with LaFleur in New York. I don't know. I mean, I get the Dolphins needed to take a swing at backup quarterback because it was an absolute disaster for them last year. Zach Wilson, there is talent in his body, as we've talked about. I don't see him reaching his potential, but if he can be a solid number two for a team that needs a back, like that might be the most important number two job relative to like health expectations in the NFL. Like the Chiefs backup is the most important, but and like Lamar Jackson's backup and like all those guys, but and Josh Allen. But like for a team that like loses their quarterback a few times a year or for significant stretches, it's the most important one. So like we said, the decent odds that he has to play. I feel better about him than I did Tyler Huntley or Scoop Huntley or whatever. But I mean, it's funny because the last time I saw Zach Wilson was in the tunnels. Connor Hughes and I went down before the end of the late season Dolphins game in 23. And he had a concussion. I'm not going to do air quotes, but he all of a sudden disappeared the rest of the season as opposed to playing for the team the rest of the way. And now he's going to be playing there permanently. So it just seems like perfect. But I mean, good luck to him. I mean, he's away from the attention, away from the pressure of being a starter. And I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting how it works. It's a good spot for him. Ultimately, they have some speed and talent around him and an okay offensive line. And we're going to see Zach Wilson play the Jets. So just be prepared for that. Be
prepared. All right. As today unfolds a little bit, what areas, obviously there's still a lot to be done on this roster. So what areas do you think they focus on now that they've obviously gotten the quarterback and solidified the secondary at this point, at least between now and the draft? Solidified the secondary.
I think they need to sign at least one receiver, ideally two. I won't go too deep into names, but Tim Patrick is still on the board. Nick Westbrook, Ekine and Demarcus Robinson are all like intriguing guys. They need a right tackle. Maybe they go in the draft. I don't know. Matt Parrott re-signed with the Broncos. Defensive tackle will be on the list, and tight end, I would say, are all like the biggest ones. But I think tight end, especially with Justin Fields at quarterback, is extremely important now because it's going to be the safety valve for him. They're going to run a lot of like RPOs and play actions and things like that. And so him having a safety valve down there, someone who can block is important. That's why I tweeted, Talis Goddard's on the trade block. I'd be intrigued by him. He is 30, but he's a really good blocker. Michael Meyer from the Raiders is on the block. He's only 23. He's more of a project probably, but he fits into the mold of the kind of players they're looking for. And Tyler Conklin's still out there as of this recording. And like I tweeted, if they don't go and get a tight end in free agency, we're in the Tyler Warren zone. And if not Tyler Warren, like, this is a really, really good tight end draft class too. Colson Loveland, and there's a couple other ones that are good. So maybe we'll get Dan Brugler or Connor Rogers on soon, talk some draft stuff. But tight end is, I think, the number one need in my mind, that and defensive tackle. They need receivers, but you at least have Garrett Wilson. They absolutely need more receivers, but they really need a tight end for Justin Fields in my mind.
All right, we'll see what goes on. We'll be back if some significant signings happen today, a little bit later in the day. We'll space these out a little bit. But the idea is to be with you throughout the week for these shorter versions of the show. 16 minutes. We still get to 16 minutes here, Zach.
Not bad.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in for the morning edition. We love the flight plan with some coffee. And we'll talk to everybody a little bit later.